My dear parishioners, we come today to the final Wednesday of Lent, and therefore the last petition of the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. And as I have been doing, I will read sections from the Catechism of the Council of Trent. It begins by speaking of the importance of this petition. This petition, with which the Son of God concludes this divine prayer, embodies the substance of all the other petitions. To show its force and importance, our Lord made use of this petition when, on the eve of his passion, he prayed to God his Father for the salvation of mankind. He said, "I pray that thou keep them from evil." In this petition, then, which he not only commanded us to use but made use of himself, he has epitomized, as it were, the meaning and spirit of all the other petitions. For if we obtain what this petition asks, that is the protection of God against evil, which enables us to stand secure and safe against the machinations of the world and the devil, then, as St. Cyprian remarks, nothing more remains to be asked. We are all convinced of the truth of the words of Job, that model of patience, when he said, "Man, born of woman, and living for a short time, is filled with many miseries. He comes forth like a flower, and is destroyed, and flees as a shadow, and never continues in the same state." No day passes without its own trouble or annoyance, and that is proved by these words of Christ: "Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof." Indeed, the condition of human life is pointed out by our Lord himself when he admonishes us that we are to take up our cross daily and follow him. Now, we recall those words of our Lord: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else shall be given to you." And in that regard, the Catechism here says, "There are some who, contrary to the command of Christ, reverse the order of this prayer. He who commands us to have recourse to him in the day of tribulation has also prescribed to us the order in which we should pray. It is his will that before we pray to be delivered from evil, we ask that the name of God be sanctified, that his kingdom come, and so on through the other petitions, which are, as it were, so many steps by which we reach this last petition." And it's interesting, the authors here go on to explain how in the Lord's Prayer, everything is so carefully laid out. We first of all pray for God's honor and glory. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." We want God to be honored and revered and loved. We want his kingdom to come into this world, and that all men will acknowledge him. So we put God first, and then we ask for our needs. And he points out here, if famine, war, or pestilence afflict us, omit all the other petitions of the Lord's Prayer and ask only to be delivered from these evils. This practice is at variance with the command of Christ, who says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." So it's saying that there are some, I should have prefaced that, there are some who are so concerned about their own crosses and miseries and evils that they experience, that they put that first. And it goes on to say, "To pray as we ought, we should have in view the greater glory of God, even when we ask deliverance from calamities, trials, and dangers. Even that is ultimately for God's honor and glory." Same as for our salvation. It gives honor and glory to God, and that should be our primary concern. The faithful should be encouraged to use this solitary manner of praying and to imitate the example of the prophet. And at the same time, their attention should be called to the marked difference that exists between the prayers of the infidel and those of Christians. The infidel also begs God to cure his diseases, to heal his wounds, to deliver him from approaching or impending evils. But he places his principal hope of deliverance in the remedies provided by nature or prepared by man. Not so the Christian, When visited by sickness or other adversity, the good Christian flies to God as to his supreme refuge and defense, acknowledging and revering God alone as the author of all his good and his deliverer. He ascribes to him whatever healing virtue resides in medicines, convinced that they help the sick only insofar as God wills. For it is God who has given medicines to man to heal his bodily infirmities. And hence the words of Ecclesiasticus, the Old Testament, quote, "The Most High has created medicines out of the earth, and a wise man will not abhor them. He therefore, who has pledged his fidelity to Jesus Christ, does not place his principal hope of recovery in such remedies. He places it in God, the author of all medicines." The faithful then are to be exhorted to place their confidence in God. Our most bountiful Father has commanded us to beg of him our deliverance from evil, in order that his command should inspire us with the hope of obtaining the object of our prayers. When we come to explain the meaning and nature of this petition, we must understand that in it we by no means ask deliverance from every evil. Now that might sound surprising at first, but listen to what the Catechism says. There are some things which are commonly considered evils, and which notwithstanding are an advantage to those who endure them. Such was the sting of the flesh to which the apostle was subjected, in order that by the aid of divine grace, power might be made perfect in infirmity. When the pious man learns the solitary influence of such things, far from praying for their removal, he rejoices in them exceedingly. We pray, therefore, against those evils only which do not conduce to our spiritual interests, not against those that are profitable for our salvation. The full meaning of this petition, therefore, is that having been freed from sin and from the danger of temptation, we may be delivered from internal and external evils, that we may be protected from floods, fire, and lightning, that the fruits of the earth be not destroyed by hail, that we be not visited by famine, sedition, or war. We ask that God may banish disease, pestilence, and disaster from us, that he may keep us from slavery, imprisonment, exile, betrayals, treachery, and from all other evils which fill mankind with terror and misery. Finally, we pray that God would remove all occasions of sin and iniquity. Just a couple more sections here. He speaks about patience and even joy under affliction. We must remember that if by prayers and supplications we are not delivered from evil, we should endure our afflictions with patience, convinced that it is the will of God that we should so endure them. If therefore God hears not your prayers, do not yield to feelings of peevishness or discontent. We must submit in all things to the divine will and pleasure, regarding as useful and salutary to us that which happens in accordance with the holy will of God, not that which is agreeable to our own will. So that is the commentary here on the final petition, deliver us from evil. And now just a few more quotes on the prayer, the final word, amen. Amen, that we say at the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. St. Jerome, in his commentary on St. Matthew, calls this word the seal of the Lord's Prayer. By this concluding word, not only do we obtain a propitious hearing from God, but also receive other blessings of a higher order still, the excellence of which surpasses all powers of description. And it gives just a couple of meanings for the word amen. There are several different meanings. Its meaning may be said to be, know that your prayers are heard. It has the force of a response, as if God answers the suppliant and graciously dismisses him after having favorably heard his prayers. Now, for instance, in the collect at Mass, which is right before the epistle, when the priest says the concluding part, per Domine nostri Jesum Christum filium sonum qui tecum vivit et regnat, that is through our Lord Jesus Christ, etc., the servant answers, Amen. It's as a way of saying, I pray that your prayer, dear Father, will be heard by God, will be granted. And when we pray the Our Father at Mass, the priest says the Amen. The server says the last petition, sed libera nos a mal, that deliver us from evil. And then the priest says, although it's silently said, the priest says the Amen, which is a way of saying, may God grant what we've asked. He goes on to say here, this practice is not common to all the prayers, but is peculiar to the Lord's Prayer. To the other prayers, the server answers Amen, because in every other, this word only expresses assent and desire. In the Lord's Prayer, it is an answer, intimating that God has heard the petition of his suppliant. And of course, we know that our Lord used the word Amen frequently. Our Lord would say things like, Amen, Amen, I say to you, etc. He would preface something particularly important with those words, Amen, I say to you. So he goes on with the meanings. By many, the word Amen is differently interpreted. The Septuagint interprets it, so be it. Others translate it, verily. Aquila renders it, faithfully. Which of these versions we adopt is a matter of little importance, provided we understand the word to have the sense already mentioned, namely that when the priest pronounces Amen, it signifies the concession of what has been prayed. It's kind of like when we say the Amen or Amen at the end of the Lord's Prayer, it's kind of like repeating all seven petitions, asking God to grant them. And the final thing I will read from here, by this word, Amen, we most earnestly beg of God that all our preceding petitions may be granted, or rather, understanding that they have been all granted, and feeling the divine assistance powerfully present with us, we cry out together with the prophet, Behold, God is my helper, and the Lord is the protector of my soul. So I hope that by going through this, and of course there are many other spiritual books that go through the different petitions of the Lord's Prayer and bring out many beautiful thoughts. But let us strive to pray the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, with attention, reflecting upon what we are asking and realizing that it is the prayer given to us by our Lord himself, in which we pray for God's honor and glory and all that we need to help us get to him.